And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. With me is Phil Conlon. How are you doing, Phil?
Yes, good afternoon, Phil.
We're going to be talking today about Rwanda, about some of the developments inside the country, but we'll be talking to Robin Philpott, who was given an award for his work on bringing the truth about Rwanda, the political truth, the reality of the country at this moment, to the world, and he was one of the prize winners for the Victoire Ingabire Award. It was given in Brussels, Belgium. And in the second half, we're going to be talking to the political action chair of Local 222 of General Motors, and there is a struggle to save the plant. And if there's a popular piece of music, there's a musical called The Last Ship by Sting, and there seems to be a kind of an echo of what happened with the shipyard workers and what is faced by the General Motors workers in Oshawa. So we'll be talking to Mr. Lee about that. But I believe we're joined on the line by Robin Philpott. Are you there, Robin?
Hello, Phil.
Thank you very much for talking to us, Robin. I should tell folks you are the publisher of Baraka Books. You have published several books of your own, and you have certainly been among the first to really clarify what kind of crisis, political crisis, exists in the country of Rwanda, which for most people, listeners, it all begins in the events of 1994, and you've written about that. Now, you were in Brussels and received an award along with two other individuals. It's the award is given by the Women's International Network, and it's called the Victoire Ingabire Umuhoza Prize for Democracy and Peace. So tell us about that. What was it like? What was the kind of attendance?
First of all, I must say it was a great honor because Victoire is an inspiration. She's somebody we should all basically learn about because she went and ran in elections against Kagame, and just for that simple fact of playing the democratic game. In Rwanda, she was locked up for 8 years, and she only recently became free, and that was when they created this award. So, and it's an award which is a prize that's picking up steam over the years. This was the eighth edition, and the room was packed with well over 300 people, it's an event, and people from I could say there are a lot of people from the Belgium, Holland, and France areas, but there were people from elsewhere, from Catalonia, Barcelona, and Mallorca, people from Kenya, and then a couple of us from Canada, from Quebec, and so it was. It's become. You can see that the network is growing. And it's becoming it's become an important prize.
Yes.
So, and it's a very striking event. And this was for the first time, of course, Victoire was able to address the crowd via Skype from Kigali. She was, freed, and you have to say it rather quickly because, as people point out, it's an open-air prison, Rwanda. Her movements are always being monitored,
has to report to authorities and that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So the fact that she could speak to people, but if you'd allow me, I want to say that the whole event, there was a shadow cast on it that kind of saddened the event, because the night previous to this, or during the night, and this was a Saturday on the 9th, there was her chief assistant, the chief assistant of Victoire in Kigali, in Rwanda, was assassinated. Mm-hmm. In, like I say, in cold blood. His name is Anselm Mutuyima.
Uh-huh.
And he was spokesperson for the United Democratic Front, Unified Democratic Front, which is Victoire Ingabire's party. He'd been sentenced to 6 years in prison and then was freed and was just working as spokesman for the party. And he was assassinated that night before, mm-hmm. which people considered it was perhaps used to destabilize this very important international event.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's rather striking. I'm glad you bring this up. I mean, it's a good time to mention that one of the problems is you have a regime that seems to carry out crimes, international crimes, actually, with impunity. And the government of Canada is very close to this leadership. People have been removed from Canada to be put into Rwandan prisons. And this is a government that kills civilians, disappears them.
Yeah. That was one of the points I tried to make in my acceptance speech was that, and it was focusing on the 25th anniversary of the shooting down of the plane, you know, within, I guess, 2 or 3 weeks now, it will be the 6th of April, which will be the 25th anniversary of the so-called unsolved assassination of two African heads of state and their entourage. Where the people who were responsible, and all evidence, and I literally say all evidence from all serious investigations, says that it was the current president of Rwanda and his army party, the Rwandan Patriotic Front, that shot the plane down. Now, you can say that when you give impunity to a man like him, it just invites him to do more, mm-hmm. More of this. And this has been going on for 25 years, and people are being extradited from countries all over the world, and particularly Western countries, the United States, Canada, Belgium, France, Sweden, and we named them. I named them, and but they also have a kind of a sort of a working agreement with our judicial systems here to enable that kind of extradition. So the situation is very very serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, as you say, the assassination of this man Anselm Mutuyima, it just underlines the people have, there's no appreciation. Of course, it's part. You can also say it's because of the really shocking ignorance of the media. Not they make sure that people don't hear about this. This is not reported widely, they portray the president in the light of he's always called the man who saved the country, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he just made an admission. In front of they had a party retreat. Party retreats, by the way, are often very embarrassing. I would never recommend anybody have one. But he decided to talk off the cuff to his supporters because it was recorded. And he said, you know, Seth Sendashonga, who had been the Minister of Interior in Rwanda in 1994 after the RPF seized power, he said he crossed the line. And therefore, he was killed.
Yeah.
Now, listeners of CIUT and readers of Robin Philpott should know something. It was said at the time that that was carried out by his government, and his government denied it.
Yeah.
They always said, "Oh no, it's the extremist Hutus are killing each other." Seth Sendashonga being a Hutu, but he'd been a member of the RPF government.
Yeah.
Now he told the world that, and I don't see any condemnation from Chrystia Freeland or whatever is representing the United States as Secretary of State.
Yeah. And it's public knowledge that he boasted about it. He talked about it, and this is 3 days or 2 days, in fact, the next day, after this political opponent, Anselm Mutuyima, Imana, was assassinated as well. And, you know, if anybody, if we want to bring it home, you know, Seth Sandashonga was Minister of the Interior when a Quebec, a Canadian priest by the name of Simard, Father Claude Simard, went and complained. He was from an area just south of Kigali. And he went and complained to the minister about disappearances and killings of people under the RPF. Mm-hmm. And it was the 18th of October, 1994, that Father Simard from Montreal was assassinated while he was praying in his own room. Mm-hmm. And a Canadian by the name of Tim Iceberg, who was with the Canadian forces there under Tousignan, this was after Dallaire left, who came and found the body. And he witnessed to the effect that it was the Kagame and the RPF that assassinated this Canadian citizen. Mm-hmm. And nobody's done anything about it. And this is, you know, you could say this is very, very related to his admission or his boasting about killing Seth Sandashonga. Because Sandashonga, as Minister of Interior, was collecting information. That's what we know about killings done by the RPF during the April 1990s and 1994 and after. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why he was assassinated.
Yeah. And by the way, and again, it's a good we engage about this, seems to me, because... He also brought in a name of a writer who also has written a book about Rwanda, much less enlightening than yours, and Mr. Prunier. And Prunier had commented, this was what sparked his remarks. Prunier said, Sandashonga had met with the closest advisor to President Museveni of Uganda, and that may have been what triggered his assassination by the Rwandans. And so Kagame saw that as an occasion to say, yes, that's right. That's what did it. He crossed the line. But as has been pointed out by close observers, such as yourself and others, actually they had already tried to kill him in 1996 before he met with Mr. Museveni's.
Exactly.
You know, so they're getting their lies a little bit tangled up, and they're trying to help each other out. I think Prunier was trying to help Kagame by writing such a silly thing, failed to notice that assassins had shot Sandashonga. By the way, it's the old thing of, you know, people forget the bystanders. A man was in the brother-in-law of Sandashonga was in the car with him and was killed.
Yeah.
On the first attempt, and Sandashonga was badly wounded.
Yeah.
So, but it is. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. The important thing is that he fled. He left Rwanda, and he should have been protected. He fled.
He was in Nairobi. That's right.
Yeah, and he was then assassinated. And this man boasts about the assassination. Mm-hmm. And he boasts about this assassination, but I mean, we should work on having a long memory. You know,
yes,
he's counting that people do not remember these events.
Yeah, very opportunistically playing on what he thinks is people who are controlling the narrative. So if one of them gives him a good line, he says, "Yeah, that's a good one." He doesn't worry himself.
about
the details. There's many aspects to this. I'll mention one last one because I want to get to your speech too, and what the audience, the gathering was like. But
the
National Basketball Association is playing footsie with Paul Kagame. And powerful people arrange those. When we say, well, what does Tony Blair, what does Bill Clinton get, and what do they do for him? You have to look at that kind of development. I would look at, you know, did Clinton have a role in seeing to it that Kagame showed up at the All-Star game and or was praised by some of the coaches? I mean, this is really insidious and contemptible, actually.
Right. No, it is, absolutely. But I think these people should be called out, Clinton and Blair. You know, I mean, the man is going around boasting about killing. The evidence is, there's so much evidence about his killing, and basically it's been the story of his life. And these other people going around pretending that none of this has ever happened. They're just like, they haven't changed their view on things. Clinton, Blair, and all the other, you could say, cheerleaders for Kagame.
We're speaking to Robin Philpott. He is publisher of Baraka Books and the author of books about Rwanda. I did
want to say that I was honored, but there were three of us. It's very interesting that this network, and it's very well aptly called a network. Another laureate, another winner of this prize, was a man named Abraham Mutai, a man from Kenya, 30-year-old social justice activist. And he's got a wide following, but he got very involved in backing Victoire and Diane Rwigara, who also made the serious crime of running for president in Rwanda and was locked up. Mm-hmm. And his story is quite something about how he got involved, and within no time, they tried to buy him off. Rwanda tried to buy him off, like literally.
That was in his speech? Did he tell us?
Yeah, he said that in his speech, $50,000. Mm-hmm. And then they wanted to bring him over to Rwanda to tell their, to co-opt him, probably with photo ops and stuff. He didn't go. He refused. Mm-hmm. He's obviously got a real following. And one of the things he said, and maybe one of these days you'll be able to reach him, but he said that so many young people, and so he's 30, that means he was 5 in 1994, and he said, we've been taught in schools that Kagame put an end to the genocide and that he has been a model African leader. And so you see, that is what this man is challenging in Kenya. So you can see the network is a real network, and it's reaching out to people in different parts of the world who have an influence. And the other man, a man named Jean-Pierre Belou, is a Congolese priest working in the Brabant area of Belgium. Mm-hmm. And because as people know, Belgium was a former colonial power in both the Congo and in Rwanda and Burundi. And so there are a lot of exiled or expatriate Congolese and Rwandans and so on. But because of the war that Kagame has imposed on the Congolese, there's this very bitter feelings between the Congolese and Rwandans. And he's been, as a priest, and his general work has been to bring Congolese and Rwandans together. And so this perception that all Rwandans are doing what Kagame is doing. Mm-hmm. He's trying to defeat that perception. Mm-hmm. He's a very, very good speaker, as a lot of priests are. Uses some of his own language, and when he made his speech, so it was an important event, I would say.
No, I really like that someone from Kenya, someone from Congo. It's great to hear those voices and to see them there.
Yeah.
Because, by the way, that's a very turbulent continent at the moment, and particularly the Great Lakes region. Anybody who speaks up in the Great Lakes region is very brave,
exactly.
Because there's armies all over the place and commando types. Now, of course, there were some of the predecessors, Judy Reaver, Ann Garrison.
Phil Taylor.
Phil Taylor was there, as a matter of fact, 1 year ago. By the way, isn't Brussels a lovely city? We should always say it. But,
very lovely city.
But I'll tell you what I was struck by, and I gather the same was true this year. One is the attendance is very heavy. But, both Victoire and Diane Wegara are really, they reach out. They really do represent all Rwandans.
Yeah.
It is, everyone knows, it knows the basic things about 1994, always learns the words Hutu, Tutsi. But in that room, when I was there, and I'm sure it's still true, is both, all ethnic groups, including Twa, are represented and are welcome. It's not a matter of a partisan, you know, ethnic-based movement.
No, absolutely. It's a political movement for democracy and peace, and they add the word freedom in it, and it that brings people together of wherever their origins, whatever their however they define themselves or are defined ethnically, it brings them together, and that's one of the strengths of the movement. There were Belgians there who've lived in Central Africa. Belgians of, you know, like, not of African origin. Mm-hmm. At the table I was sitting was Luc Marchal. And Luc Marchal, people should know this, he was in charge of the Kigali Battalion under the UNAMIR, which is the United Nations Forces, that was led by Roméo Dallaire.
Canadian.
By the way, Roméo Dallaire, and I talked to Mr. Marchal about it, Roméo Dallaire has never gone to Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
Never. And, because he's afraid that he's going to be arrested. He's not.
Well, yes.
He's not gone in there to witness in any case. He never, mm-hmm. not for the defense of Luc Marchal. Luc Marchal, because of the death of a certain number of paratroopers, 10 paratroopers in Belgium, was court-martialed there. Mm-hmm. Of course, the man is innocent, mm-hmm. and he's only recently been acquitted of, the charges have been dropped.
Mm-hmm.
But Luc Marchal's story about Rwanda is totally different from the one we've been fed, mm-hmm. by our general, Dallaire.
Yes.
You know. And he broke with General Dallaire about 2004, and he said to Mr. Dallaire, "You have shaken hands with the devil,"
mm-hmm.
meaning that he's shaken hands with Kagame.
Mm-hmm.
You had a lot of other people.
That's a rewriting of the book, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And yeah. So, big event.
You know, that's a good, we should tell our listeners, Canadians, France and Belgium both had inquiries,
yeah.
Political inquiries as to what the heck happened, because they had prominent individuals and personnel.
Yeah.
But Canada never had an inquiry.
No, Canada has not had an inquiry, and we have lost people.
The narrative has been basically handled by not speaking, simply, you know, it's kind of what you might call the suspicious silence.
Right.
A lot of publicity, a lot of books, maybe headlines, but no inquiry where someone sits down, takes an oath, and tells you what he thinks happened. Because, well, then they would end up with a different narratives, because, as you just pointed out, Colonel Marchal would tell quite a different story, or at least one that would be noticeably different. If they've been following the story only within the context of Canada.
Yeah. But another people who were there, people from Catalonia, you know, and they have brought the Spanish judicial system to investigate very seriously the death of Spanish humanitarian workers who were killed, and Catalans in particular, killed in by the RPF, and they've had a very serious investigation, and led to an indictment of 40 leaders of, including Kagame,
mm-hmm.
of the RPF regime. But Canada just goes along as if nothing happened, you know,
yes.
and they maintain this wonderful relationship with
yes.
The current government.
That's Well, it's very important you tell us all these things, and I congratulate you on your getting the award, and we're going to be posting that on our Facebook page, and I assume it can be Global Research published it, right?
Yeah, Global Research published it. And Black Agenda Report is published.
Oh, Black Agenda, good. Because yours is available both in French and English.
Yeah, exactly.
And so Black Agenda Report.
We'll be having, but it's in the Global Research. It's on Global Research, published early last week.
Yeah. Well, again, congratulations. And I know it was a great speech. I urge everybody to read it. In detail, the really important facts are there. Robin Philpott, thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much, Phil.
Sure thing.
Have a good day. Bye.
Bye-bye. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. You can write to us, the Taylor Report at CIUT.FM. We're on Facebook, / the Taylor Report, and we are on SoundCloud, Taylor-Report.